The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Advent, as a season of waiting, is outside the bastions of Lutherans who want to celebrate the church year almost all gone. Before I came to the States, which was in September, in Germany, in the grocery stores, there were already Christmas cookies and the very liked Santa Claus is made out of chocolate. Christmas season starts in September. And after Thanksgiving, it seems to me, observing the customs in this country, that the Christmas season has started. Even in this very chapel, there are Christmas trees, or are they Advent trees, in the chancel. So what about Advent then? Is it just a relic which lives on paper, but is dead in all other respects? Has it died under the onslaught of a culture that rather celebrates Christmas for 4 years, then waits and prepares and in a penitential season, and then have a short 2-day celebration? And on the other hand, is there not some truth in this development, that it is kind of artificial to prepare oneself for the coming of Christ, as if Christ has not yet come and is among us? What then can Advent mean in a time where decorations of reindeers pulling a sledge shine in the dark, and statues of Mary, Joseph, and the infant in the manger sit in front of the lawn even before the first Sunday in Advent? What is the distinctive difference between Advent and Christmas? Maybe just the distinctive difference is the buying and then the distribution of gifts. Well, even if this is the only difference, even if many customs and a lot of folklore attached to Christmas are now part of Advent or the holiday season, then this difference might show something about what Advent is about. We could say, well, we are expecting something. And there is the time of expectation and then the time when you get it. And then you could start some complaint about the culture among us. Doesn't Advent, how it is celebrated today, show that the concept that you wait for something, that instant gratification is not the real thing, is all but lost? Instant gratification, that's what we all want. We had to learn it as children when you had to learn self-control, as it is put in the catechism, or self-discipline. Yes, you might go outside and play with your buddies, but first you have to do your homework. You do not get immediately what you want. Sometimes you will get it later, sometimes you will get it never. But the desire, of course, lives on in us. To wait, nobody really wants that. Advent, so an exercise in self-discipline, self-control. If that is everything we have to say about Advent, that Advent shows us that you don't get immediately what you would like, that you have to control yourself, then Advent would be a season of the law. It would nothing be than an exercise in Protestant work ethics, as necessary as Protestant work ethics is. But the church year cannot be a tool to ingrain that in people. Waiting, patience, endurance, that's something else than that you do not fulfill your wishes right now to have a nicer celebration later on. In the reading we have heard, Paul actually talks about patience and endurance or long suffering. Let's put the two words, endurance and patience. Endurance and patience, these are one of the things Paul is praying for the Christians at Colossae. It's part of it. He starts with praying that God may fill them with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, that all sounds like a very theoretical knowledge, something which affects only our head. But Paul is not starting a PhD program in Christianity. Wisdom and understanding, in this combination is used in the Old Testament about the workers at the tabernacle. It is said that God had filled them with his Holy Spirit so that they had wisdom and understanding. And this is not that they could write elaborate papers on who is God and about his revelation. It was that they knew how to build the tabernacle, that they knew how to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. That is wisdom and understanding. God gave these workers the knowledge and the ability to do the work to which he had called them. Paul asks here God that he will do the same for the Christians in Colossae. They have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son. In this new state, they are on their way. They are walking. And wisdom and understanding, that means that their knowledge of God, that this change which they have experienced, which has happened to them, that everything in their life is shaped by this saving and salvific knowledge. Paul is praying for the ability to act on the basis of this knowledge of God. It is something very practical. And it is also something that is not in us. It is God's gift, as it is the rescue at the beginning of our life as Christians. We are in constant need to get the wisdom from God, that our acts and attitudes are shaped by what God has revealed to us. And ultimately that means that our acts and our attitudes are shaped by the fact that we have received his love unconditionally for Christ's sake, and that Christ is our Lord alone. To live a life governed and shaped by this, that is wisdom and understanding. And Paul prays also for endurance and patience. Patience talks about our relation to other people. Patience is the fruit of love, so that when we deal with our fellow men, we are not conquered by our frustrations because of their behavior. Patience, that means that we continue to live with them without the sarcasm and anger and sometimes disgust and wrath that people's acts would normally induce in our life. And we continue to love them, even if they are not lovable, and that we are not conquered by the bad feelings we get because of their behavior. Endurance is the ability to stand fast, or if we keep the metaphor of the Christian life as a walk, that we continue to walk, that we keep going. Endurance is the power to deal with the fact that we have been transposed to the kingdom of the Son, but that in our life, and that means especially what happens to us, the forces of the kingdom of darkness seem to be, at least sometimes, and sometimes most of the times, far more powerful than the power of the kingdom of Christ. Endurance is born out of hope, the hope that God will fulfill his promise, that his kingdom, in which we live now by faith in his word, will overcome all darkness, all destructive and evil forces which make our life now miserable. Endurance, so, speaks about keeping the faith against all experience that seems to disprove the claim that Jesus has defeated the devil and that we as believers share in this victory. And it's not only this endurance important for our life when bad things happen to us from outside, but especially for us who will be working in the church, for you who will become pastors, because the church is sometimes not a very Christian place if you look at the behavior of the people. to keep the faith that this really is the Holy Christian Church, this congregation, and of course also that you are really called to do what you are supposed to do, to preach. And this is not all in vain. Sometimes you have to have this endurance and you have to just believe the word, because what you see seems an utter disapproval of everything you teach. Endurance, therefore, is not something like self-discipline, that you get your act together and keep going. That we keep on going, that we keep the faith, is not in our power. Paul says here that the reason for the endurance is God strengthening the Christians with all power according to his glorious might. Strengthening the Christians with all power according to his glorious might. That sounds almost bombastic. It's power and might and all that you keep going. Yes, and all that is necessary. Because the battle is won, but the war is still fiercely raging. Without God's glory, without his glorious might, no Christian would endure. No one could keep the faith. What tries to destroy our faith, the forces of darkness that assault us, would overcome us. That we continue to believe is a miracle caused by God, who gives us the strength to resist all destructive forces. In Advent, we confess that we are waiting. We are waiting that God's word reaches its goal. We are not like the saints of the Old Testament who waited for Messiah. We know who he is and that the victory is accomplished. That the turn of the eons in Christ's coming actually happened. But we still wait and hope and pray that Christ will finally and forever do away the old creation, so that only the new creation will remain. Thus, Advent remembers us that we are waiting. And so we are actually standing together in this respect with the saints of the Old Testament. We are waiting that the story of the child in the manger comes to its end, in the eternal feast of the Lamb. In Advent, we are reflecting that an essential aspect of our faith is the longing for its ultimate and definite fulfillment of God's promise. So we are united with the saints of all times. And Advent is also a time where we can reflect that endurance is needed in the time while we are waiting. When we live and labor and battle and are frustrated. But God's might can and will us strengthen, that we are not overcome by darkness, because Christ is the light that has overcome all darkness. Amen.